money. Can you ever get enough? How do you keep from going into debt? And what can you do to become successful financially? Discover the answers to these questions today on Precepts for Life.
You can't live without it. I mean, today, you can't go out in your yard and grab a chicken. And I hope you can't if you live in a residential neighborhood. But you can't go out and grab a chicken or take something off the shelf and go down to the store to purchase something and say, hey, I want to barter with you. I want to trade this for that. You can't do it. If you're going to eat, if you're going to have a roof over your head, if you're going to have groceries that are there for you for tomorrow and the next day, you have to have money. Yet, what have you heard? You have heard people say, money is the root of all evil. Do you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. You say, yes, it does. It says money is the root of all evil. You're right, but it says some words before that. And the words before that is this: the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil, but it's the heart behind the money that can get us into trouble. And this is what we want to talk about today. And you know what? We need to talk about it. We need to understand what place money is to have in our lives, because I tell you what, if it doesn't have a proper perspective in your life, beloved, it can destroy you. It's not something we think it can buy us power and everything we want, and yet the love of money is destructive. And those that love money end up in ruin. Let me give you a few stats. Do you know that according to the latest credit card statistics, 40% of American families spend more than they earn? The average household has $5,000 in credit card debt. Oh, beloved, you're not thinking if you're doing that, because the interest rate on credit cards is astronomical. And then 1 out of 100 households in the United States will file for bankruptcy. Well, this is what we're going to do today on the program. I'm going to take you to a friend and a brother by the name of Dave Ramsey with the Lampo Group. You may have seen him on Oprah. You may have seen him on 60 Minutes. He's in Nashville, and we're going to talk to Dave. Dave, I'm so thankful that you've agreed to be on the program.
Well, Kay, it is an honor to be with you. We're just thrilled to be on with Kay Arthur. This is a big deal. I mean, you got to understand, when we went broke and lost everything and hit bottom and went through all that, one of the things that happened was my wife went through Precepts, and it really impacted her life and, as a result, our marriage. So we're thrilled to be with you.
Oh, Dave, thank you very, very much. I am very humbled, and I am excited that God allowed your wife to get into Precept, because it's through His precepts that we get understanding and that we come to hate every false way. What are His precepts for life? It's what this book has to say, beloved. And what I want to do is I want to give you a little bit of background on Dave Ramsey. This man mentioned that he hit rock bottom, and many times God will do that to us and allow that to happen so that we know that when we're face down, there's only one place to look, and that's up. Up beyond ourselves, up to God, who has the answers. This man is now a multimillionaire. How did he recover? Let's watch a bit of his story.
Woo! We are going to have some fun today. You know how I know that? Money's fun if you got some.
And Dave Ramsey was having a blast right out of college. The real estate market was booming, and he quickly went from rags to riches, acquiring $4 million in assets.
Well, my wife Sharon and I started like most folks, broke, eating off a card table, driving a 1902 Pinto. And I started buying and selling real estate, and I got rich, at least by a kid from Antioch, Tennessee standards. Only I did some things wrong. Not morally wrong, not ethically wrong, but I borrowed too much money. I didn't understand this borrower slave to the lender stuff then. And the short version of the story is that the bank got sold to another bank, and they called our notes, and we spent the next 2.5 years of our life losing everything we owned. We were sued a gazillion times. We were foreclosed on, and finally with a brand new baby and a toddler and a marriage hanging on by a thread, we hit bottom. Bankrupt. And, you know, I kind of do everything backwards. I met the Lord on the way up. All the wealth and Jaguars just weren't doing it for me. But I got to know Him on the way down. And so at the bottom of that mess, we made a decision that we were going to learn how money really works. And that involved finding out that the Bible had something to say about money. Whoa! What a neat idea.
And that's how Dave turned his life around.
Capital One, let's make it into two. What do you think? Right. You know? You gotta have a little fun with this, because this has been going on long enough.
He discovered the Bible had simple and practical lessons on how to handle money.
Every time I read, for instance, about debt in the Bible, I don't find any good things in there. It's a curse. You're a slave. If you sign surety for another, you're lacking in sense. I mean, that's co-signing. Every time I find it in there, it's a negative thing. And so I went, whoa, it's not a sin. I'm not going to hell for using a MasterCard. It's not a salvation issue. But it's stupid, and it doesn't work.
And now Dave teaches others how to discover God's plan for financial peace.
This is the best in talk radio. Service-oriented talk radio. Talk radio that matters. Talk radio that's about you and for you. If you're doing really well, we're here to help. If you're not doing so well, we're here to help.
The Dave Ramsey Show is heard on more than 250 radio stations across the country with 2 million listeners. 5 days a week, Dave sits behind this microphone and gives sound financial advice based on scripture and experience.
I tell them, let's get our priorities straight. Okay? And, you know, make sure you're in a good church. Make sure you're walking with God. And I tell them that on mainstream radio. And it's shocking. And I say, hey, you know, give your wife some extra hugs. She's scared right now. You guys hang on to your marriage. The number one cause of divorce in North America today is money fights and money problems. I mean, people do this stuff wrong. And so if you're going to go through the mess, then let's prioritize life very, very carefully. And it becomes seared into who you are. It becomes your theology, your doctrine, your philosophy of life. You know, we all say God first, family second. When you're in the middle of this stuff, it's God first, family second. And stuff comes and stuff goes.
According to A.C. Nielsen, 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That breaks down to 8 out of 10 homes on your street. Dave says it's a way of life in our culture to buy junk we can't afford with money we don't have to impress people we don't like.
Normal as I owe, so off to work I go. Bumper sticker is on my car. Normal is I have no clue how my children are going to school unless they go deeply in debt. Normal is I have no hope of ever being without a car payment or a house payment. I'm going to live my life that way. That is normal. That's why I like being weird.
Dave has also helped thousands to find financial freedom and to realize the direct connection between money and marriage.
We have people come into our office, look like this all the time. They're going, hey, dude, can you get me out? We lived in the same neighborhood as mom and dad, had a nicer car than mom and dad, nicer clothes than mom and dad, definitely a better stereo system than mom and dad. But in the first 7 years, 90% of the marriages end on money problems.
Dave's greatest passion is helping others. He tries to get us to understand that the good life is not about fancy cars and big homes. Actually, Dave has learned that some of life's greatest gifts have nothing to do with money at all.
You know, one of my greatest possessions is probably this. If this building caught on fire, I'd run in here and grab this. This was my great, great, great grandfather's Bible. He was a circuit riding preacher. And so he carried this in the saddlebags over the back of his donkey. And then all those years later, I end up in a on a mainstream radio show evangelizing and talking about God. And then I discovered that was in my family tree. This represents, you know, my interaction with my kids, my interaction with my wife, our interaction with leaving a legacy, a real legacy. There's all kinds of inheritances to leave. And leaving money is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what if you left a legacy in your family? Now that would be a real possession.
Sheila Travis for Precept Ministries International.
Dave, that is quite a story. I am so excited that you found out that you had a circuit rider in the family, going out, going all over the country, and taking people the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God. Dave, what I would like you to do is share with us what took you down, so to speak, into this destruction, and how did God get your attention and draw you back to Himself?
You know, Kay, I was being interviewed the other day by one of these talking heads on the network, so I do all these appearances, and the guy said, Dave, you know, you started from nothing, you became a millionaire, and then you hit rock bottom, and then you're a millionaire again. So how did you bounce back? And I said, well, dude, when you lose $4 million, you really don't bounce. It's more of a splat sound. And so, you know, what I did at the bottom of that was not bounce. What I did was sit around, cry, moan, blame other people, and, you know, it was my wife's fault, it was the bank's fault, it was the IRS's fault, you know, it was all of these kinds of things. This sense of victim, and I really spiritually had to walk through that sense of being a victim and realize that I was more the victim of my own choices than anything else. And, man, that was a tough day when I had to look in the mirror and go, ah, you're the problem. You know, it's like my dad used to say, you shot it, Tarzan, you eat it. You're the problem. And man, that's a spiritual awakening. But the cool thing is, as soon as you do that, then you get to trade places with God. You quit trying to be Him. And when you trade places with Him, He gets to put His arms around us, and you just get to climb up in Abba Father, Daddy God's lap. And you just get that hug and that sense of, yeah, you are in control. It is your plan. It is your deal. And there's a sense of peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says, that floods your soul when you release that control. You know, in Christianity, we call it surrendering. Well, you know, you get hit that hard, you make a choice about whether you're going to surrender or not. And in that surrendering is where that peace comes. And then that's where the newfound zeal and passion comes for following God's ways of doing things straight out of Scripture.
And Scripture describes it, doesn't it, Dave? As he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says that those that want to get rich fall into temptation. I know I've read it, but listen. And a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many griefs. And yet, because He is the great shepherd of the sheep, and because a shepherd carries a crook, that shepherd takes that crook and He uses your problems. He uses your failures. He uses your impotence. He uses when you come to the end of your rope, He puts that crook around your neck and He's drawing you back into His arms. Many times when a shepherd has a sheep that wanders, he has to take the sheep and break his leg in order to get the sheep's attention. But then he binds it up. Then he takes his robe and he tucks the sheep inside and he carries the sheep until the sheep get used to hearing the voice of the shepherd and come to know the shepherd so well that the sheep don't want to wander away. Dave, how did God get your attention?
Okay, once people get to bathing in the Bible, as you know, you teach this, you get all these scriptures and they all start to be fun in our lives. They all start to have, you know, different touch points in our hearts. So my favorite scripture is always a moving target. It kind of depends on what I'm working on right then. But one of the things I'm realizing is that in North America, normal is broke. And we have the answer to that problem. We have the antidote. And Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. They're broke. Don't do what they're doing. But instead be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our minds. We call that a total money makeover.
And beloved, it is a total money makeover, because what you're doing is you're taking your mind and you're conforming it to God's precepts for life. And you say, okay, this is what God says, and this is what He says about money, and this is what He says about faith, and this is what He says about the way He's going to provide for me, and I will trust Him. I know that God is speaking to you, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue talking to Dave Ramsey.
Because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Money, money, honey. It takes money, honey. I will say to my husband, I need some money, honey. And many times, honey will say, did it cost that much? You know why? Because honey never goes shopping. I do all the shopping. So honey doesn't really realize how much money it takes. And yet, beloved, it takes money for what level of living? I think today the problem is, as Dave said, we are expecting to live like our parents lived, and we're expecting to live that way right from the beginning of our marriage. There's not a sense of scrimping and saving and doing without and planning for the future. What does God say to us? Well, I want to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to read verse 17. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world to get rid of all their riches, because it's a sin to be rich. No, that's not what he says. And I want you to understand, it is not a sin to have money. It is not a sin to be rich. You say, well, make me a rich Christian instead of a poor Christian. Well, let's go on and read and see what it says. It says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. God means for you to enjoy life, and yet He does not mean for you to live for yourself. You know, one of the greatest joys that Jack and I have in life is giving to other people, is helping other people where they have great needs. God is the same way. He loves to give us things that we can enjoy. He is the one who is our provider. When you come to Him, His name is Jehovah Jireh. And so when we go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, He gives us a warning. And the warning is this, that you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon means wealth. Well, I want to go back and I want to ask Dave to share with us some more about this matter of money, because I want you to hear from this man who's had it, lost it, and has it again. Okay, Dave, you take it from there, because a lot of people are focused on money.
Most people aren't doing well with money. They look like they are. Everybody looks like they've got it together. We go to church. We lie, you know, how's it going? Just fine. Car's going to be repoed Tuesday. Just fine. You know, we lie in church. Real people, regular people are struggling with this all around you. They sit with you on Sunday. They sit with you on Monday and Tuesday. You sit near them in the restaurant. Regular folks are struggling every day with these issues, regardless of how they look on the outside.
You are so right, Dave. And what is happening inside, they're putting on this facade on the outside, but inside they are worried. And you know what? It is eating their lunch. It makes them tense. It keeps them from getting sleep. And it makes them many times, if they don't know to run to God, then they run to alcohol or they run to anything that's going to get them out of their situation. Oh, beloved, where you need to run is to God. He is the one that has promised to supply all your needs. His name is Yehovah, Jehovah, Jireh. The Lord will provide. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, my God will supply all your needs, not your greeds, but your needs, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is why he says in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says it over and over again, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, and he's talking about people that don't know God, eagerly seek for these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Well, Dave, you weren't seeking the kingdom of God, and you ended up flat. You ended up bankrupt.
You know, Kay, one of the things that happens to a lot of people when they hit rock bottom, especially guys, is you entertain these crazy thoughts of even suicide. Matter of fact, the number one cause of male suicide in North America today is money problems and money fights with their spouses. And almost no ladies have that issue. If they commit suicide, it's over other things, relational issues or something like that. But money is a big deal with guys. We keep score, and when the score is zero or a negative, it is very natural, which is not a good thing, for thoughts of that kind of stuff to go through your head, for that little demon to sit on your shoulder and go, you know, the life insurance is more valuable than you are. And I won't kid you, I went through those same exact thoughts. They didn't last long, but they were there. And a lot of people that we deal with that call our customer care center are facing those exact same things. And they call me on the radio show. They're facing the exact same things. And so that is a very, very real thing. I'm not sure exactly how you get past that. I don't know if I'm a psychologist or enough of a theologian to walk you past it. I just remember as a baby Christian, I was reading in Scripture, and the whole earth being formed, the whole discussion of creation in the Bible is about that long. And then he spends 35 chapters discussing Joseph. Wow. You know, I must be important to him. And then you think about the relationship of our Heavenly Father with us versus our relationship like with our kids. How important is it that my kids get that? And as a child, how important is it that I realize that, hey, I'm not valued on what I do. I'm valued because I am. And this thing of being versus having gets changed around in how you look at life. If you get that out of the going broke process, you really got a gift.
Oh, beloved, Dave is so right. If you have been broken in the process of going broke, then God is there. He's the potter. He takes that broken, marred vessel. He puts it back on the potter's wheel. And you know what? He takes that scar, that mar there, and he weaves it into a beautiful vessel for him. Dave, thank you so much for being on this program. I want people to know how to get in touch with you.
Anytime anybody wants to get us, it's really easy. Just check out the website at daveramsey.com. We have an 800 line. It's 888-22-PEACE, P-E-A-C-E, 888-227-3223.
Dave, thank you so much for joining us today on the program. You've made it a real blessing.
Well, we were honored to be with you. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, beloved, that is God's precept for life. And yet, what we need to do is we need to crystallize it. So I'll be back in just a minute.
Five years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.